And I believe this is probably what the Buddha talked about 2,600 years ago. There's no self in anything. That is the doctrine of anatta, no self. Don't look for yourself in any form, thought form or other form. Anatta, no self. Because if you look for yourself in form, that is suffering. And so the question is, people ask, is there such a thing as reincarnation? Yes, every day. Every time you identify with any form, including a thought or an emotion, and you're totally in it, you have incarnated into a new form. It's become a me. And then comes the next, you incarnate into that, you identify with that, a reaction. You incarnate with the emotion that rises, and what you say, you're totally possessed by the thoughts. Another incarnation. So the question is, how many times each day do I reincarnate? And so, of course, reincarnation is a fact. And when does it end? The end of reincarnation can only come at this moment, when I don't identify with the form that arises. I let it be, the emotion, the thought, some external form, and say, this is mine, don't you touch that. It's bigger than yours. Even children have that already. My dad is stronger than yours. So they talk of the end of the need to reincarnate, the cycle, the continuous cycle of birth. But that cycle ends, of course, if you live under the compulsion to reincarnate every day, it's more than likely that the compulsion will continue, this little entity that believes itself to be separate, consciousness having entered the dream of form, and that's fine from a larger perspective, needs to have more incarnations because it wasn't satisfied with the thousands of incarnations it had in this lifetime. Okay, where's the next one? I need another body. And the drive, the wanting to perpetuate myself as a form is still there. Wanting to stand out as someone, be someone, exist for again. And which is the ego? It's the ego's need to stand out. What about me? Me. And even if an ego is timid and doesn't want to, it's just the reversal of that. Hiding underneath that is the need to stand out. A timid ego that doesn't want to stand out, simply it is afraid that it will be criticized when it does stand out and it'll suffer defeat. It's afraid of standing out, but it wants to stand out. It's that need to be someone special, ultimately, extraordinary, special, more than. It's always part of that. You can notice it even as giving an opinion. People are talking, and what they're saying is obviously nonsense, so now you begin to speak. Let me tell you how it really is. With presence, you become quite, from the ego's point of view, quite ordinary. The need to be special goes. Oh, that's a big relief. if you don't need to be extraordinary anymore in order to feel that your life is fulfilled, I'm extraordinary. And then you discover your true extraordinariness is hidden in absolute ordinariness. And you can see that in some humans who are connected deeply with being and perhaps create out of that, perhaps a great master painter or composer or whatever they do. And those in whom the ego hasn't come back and claimed, "It's me, I did that," that happens also. Others remained humble, very humble and simple. And this, when you talk to them, you say, they don't need to prove anything. They don't need to be anybody special. They're just most ordinary. If you had met Einstein, you would have felt that he remained throughout his life totally ordinary and humble. He couldn't even understand what people said of him. He said, the discrepancy between what people think of me and who I am is just ridiculous. That's what he said. So he never, there was no claiming anything. So when you don't need to be great anymore, and then you are great. Life is full of paradoxes.